Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod.
Oh, Zaza Pachulia, you clumsy fool. Me and Jack will be discussing whether we think Zaza is a dirty player. And in light of the recent misconduct in the Mavs organization, we'll be discussing whether Mark Cuban should be relieved of his duties as owner. The NBA adopting an AFL-like final series? Sounds crazy. So crazy, it might just work. All this and more, not to mention a very strange off-topic you won't want to miss. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on iTunes, helps us out heaps. And follow us on Blog Talk Radio, as always. My name is Nick Busink, and my NBA career, not NBA, sorry, my basketball career is in full swing. Jackie, we had our first game on the weekend, scored a casual 24 points, and may I just add, that's a lot of points. That would be the equivalent of an NBA player going for 40. So that's a big deal.
Is there a rookie of the year contender in like the Western Suburbs local Division 4 league, Nicholas?
Even if there was, chance, mate.
We'll get you into Rookie Watch. We'll get you into Rookie Watch. N. Busing, 24. And with 24 points and 4 rebounds.
I probably got more than 4 rebounds. I mean, the team that we played were just real bad. They've Trash. Never played before. They've never played together. So there was no defense. They were all, mind the casual racism, they were all Asian, so they were all sub 6 foot, and we've got right. Two guys who are 6 foot four.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, you and Chaz and
Chaz
who?
And your brother and one of my mates, Kieran, he's 6'4" right. as well, who can shoot threes. He's a perennial pick and pop guy. Like, he is 3 and D.
Is there going to be a spot for me when I come back in the next month, mate?
Mate, we've got three rebounders now. Like, where do you fit in, mate? You're going to have to learn to shoot.
Am I going to be the sixth man? When we were playing back in the day a couple of years ago, I was like one of our best players. I'm going to have to be the sixth man now.
Yeah. Oh, there's like always room. There's always room for a rebound. I mean, I can pop out to the. I mean, me and you, we can have our dank pick and roll moments. I'm usually on the rolling side these days with Heiser on the with Heiser running
there
the place.
There is no doubt that I am still, out of our mates, the best pick and roll player going around.
I'm a good pick and roll player. You're a better rebounder, but I've significantly improved, even from when I was in London. I've gotten a lot better.
This man. All right. Well, then, enough about our own basketball careers. Let's talk about some professional ones, Nicholas. And by the way, we have the Jackman, J-Man, and J-Man. How
yes,
are we, mate?
2.18 episode. So we are, 2.18. Jack Manuel, you are well. We have discussed that. We have to do something about this introduction because it's just fucked at the moment. It's all over
it's
the
haphazard.
Shop.
It's very haphazard. Yes. I love the word haphazard.
Haphazard. It's a good word. Off topic in the future, favourite words. I'm pretty sure we've already done that.
We have.
We definitely have.
Part two. We'll do a part two.
Part two. All right. Busing Badwell scale time. For those of you who are new, this is a JBT scale we created that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale things on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact. And the rest falling in between the fact and the straight up fact. I screwed that up. You'll get it. Hopefully.
No, you won't.
All right. Following last night's incident with Russell Westbrook, it is all but confirmed that Warriors center Zaza Pachulia...
We're going to game 7, baby!
...is a straight-up dirty player.
Fact.
Four. I think it's mate, it's not even just no consideration on this one. Bang.
No, I've always been. I mean, we've had our arguments in the past. Like, I'm pretty sure we did pods around the time with the Kawhi injury, and we had quite a. I mean, we always have heated debate, me and you, but that one got quite heated. And I was advocating for the fact that, you know, there's an element of clumsiness to his game, but there's recklessness and clumsiness, and I think he's bordering on reckless, and it's now becoming to the point where it's dirty. We saw Russell Westbrook came out and he said, yeah, we saw what happened. He straight out like just jumped on my leg. Paul George was advocating for it. Kyrie Irving even came out on Instagram saying, did you all see that? Something has to be done about this.
Yeah.
We've posted the video on our Facebook page so you guys can make your own minds up. There's a couple of different angles. Nick's seen a million replays of it. I woke up, I saw two replays and from both sides of the argument. So there's one where it looks like he sort of trips a little bit on his own feet, and then Nick Young's foot sort of clips him a little bit in that he falls and he trips. But at the same time, me and Nick were chatting about it before, off wax, in the sense that you look at where his eyes are. When you accidentally fall over, your arms sort of flail and shit, and you don't know what's happening, and you don't necessarily look where you're going to fall.
Especially when you're a clumsy man. Like,
exactly. Like, he's not like Mr. Bean and shit. Yeah. Like, where Mr. Bean is just like that bumbling fool. Zaza doesn't have that, like, bumbling, lovable element to him. I don't like Zaza Pachulia. I'm sorry.
No one does.
This advocated it even further. Now, Warriors fans, I'm sure we've got plenty of them that listen to the podcast. I'm sorry. But you look at where he's looking, and that, for me, is the most striking thing. He's looking directly at Russell Westbrook's legs. He's already on the floor. Nick Young has fallen, and then he's the third person to fall over. It's not like he's making a beeline for it, but, like, you cannot land on him. You can sort of land in the middle of him. Yes, you're a 7-foot ogre oaf, but at the same time, you don't have to intentionally look to land on one of the best players in today's NBA's legs and injure him, like you did with Kawhi Leonard. Zaza Pachulia, straight up fact, dirty player. Rant over, Nick. I think I'll give you some. I need to breathe.
Oh, it's becoming. I mean, I've been a Zaza sympathizer, I guess. Going back to, I mean, this whole thing really started with the Kawhi Leonard injury. He's undercut him. I don't believe he was doing that with any intention. Recklessness, sure. Clumsiness, definitely. But recklessness isn't necessarily a sign of a dirty player. Like, you can recklessly block someone. You can go up and absolutely swat the shit out of them. And it can be reckless. Because if it doesn't pay off, you may hurt that person.
But in terms of the degree of the recklessness, it depends on the situation there. And the two situations for Zaza which stand out to me in terms of recklessness, every player knows how to guard a jump shot. You're talking
about a 7-foot ogre center. Yeah.
Who is in the NBA? Who knows the rules?
It doesn't matter, Jack. Every by that same theory, every NBA player should be able to hit a jump shot. Because it's such a fundamental NBA skill. He doesn't guard jump shooters. Why would he know how to properly guard jump shooters? He never has to do it ever. But it doesn't matter whether he knows the rules. He knows what he does. I'm sure he knew what he did against Kawhi Leonard was wrong. He is an extremely big man who possibly can't stop himself in time. And he's not... Just the fact that you mentioned his eyes. Against the Kawhi Leonard incident, he goes up and looks and turns. His feet land underneath Kawhi's, and he turns to look at the shot. There is no way that there is malice in there.
No, look, okay. We're harking back to a point in the past. But, Nick, before we move on, you, again, haven't given me your... Where does this go on the scale for you?
Well, like I said, I think it's becoming harder and harder to vouch for him because this one was... I had to watch it 10 to 15 times to actually find some shred of evidence that maybe he fell over. Just maybe he did. But he fell so slowly as well. Like, if you've fallen over, you don't sort of just timber down, you know? It's a strange fall. Like, yeah, it like, didn't if, look... it wasn't a natural fall. But if you look at his feet exactly. seemed to get tangled. But I'm just making... excuses, though. Like, I can feel it myself that I'm making excuses. This one felt really, really sinister.
And where does it go on the scale? Where does Zaza as a whole?
I mean, there has to be a reason why it keeps... That Zaza keeps coming up. Whether... media scrutinize on him more. I'm putting this one Twitter because it's
okay,
sorry Wikipedia fair. Wikipedia because it's slightly more towards the fact. I mean it's.
I mean we've
it
probably,
happens to him yeah, far too often.
It does, and I mean we'll move on, but I think a lot of our international listeners will see some bias from us not mentioning a guy like Matthew Dellavedova. We know about Delhi. If you guys want us to speak about him, send us an email. Hit us up on Facebook. But for now, this is just about
Zaza, dude.
And yeah, and to move on to some more pressing, serious matters. Now, for unless you've been living under a rock, we all saw the news from SI earlier in the week about Mark Cuban. So make sure you read that article. Absolutely essential reading. So check out SI, the article about the culture, the misogynistic culture. Happening and the exploitatory, if that's a word, culture in terms of in relation to women. But in relation to that, Nicholas, Mark Cuban should be relieved of his duties as owner of the Mavericks in light of the recent explosive news that the franchise is rife with misogyny and predatory sexual behavior. I've been listening so much to this because
Mate.
I want to get... To stay informed on this, you need to be able to... Like, take in what you can. Like, you know, take an expert opinion, read the article for itself so you can form your own judgment, listen to Mark Cuban's comments and response, and then go, okay, I've got all the facts here, now I can make an informed judgment. Because this isn't something that we just go willy-nilly, fact, straight up fact, no, alternative fact. This isn't some Zaza shit. This is a bit more serious than that. What were your initial thoughts when this news came out?
Obviously, I sort of feel... I've got the same sentiments as anyone who listens to The Starters. I mean, I'm a big fan. We both are. I've got pretty similar feelings towards it that Tess Mellis does. It was inevitable. Like, it was a matter of time before it hit something as big as NBA or sports in general, being a big, you know, man culture that it is. Obviously, it's terrible. There's no place for it in modern society. All of that jazz, I don't need to preach about the lives of women. Just people. Like, really. It's just people. But the take that we're putting here, that Mark Cuban should be relieved of his duties as an owner, that this franchise is rife with misogyny, Jesus, like, you sound like Colin Coward, mate.
No, like, but it's
sensationalist. I understand that it's a prevalent issue, but I cannot believe that it's rife. Saying that every guy in that institution is some sort of creep.
No, okay, right. You can interpret rife in the language that I use in whatever way you want. But it starts at leadership, Nick. Now, the article specifically said that when the victims had interactions with players, they were completely fine. They had nothing but positive things to say about it. You know, the players were nothing but respectful and, you know, just human beings. But when it came to the leadership and the HR department, which is a huge part of any organization, let alone a basketball team, that's when it was out of control. And the fact that Mark Cuban, you know, defended and rehired and kept on a staffer who was a known physical abuser and has been charged with it by the police is something, and I'm going to quote Jamil Hill here, famed ESPN reporter, and she said on her Twitter page earlier in the week, the fact that Mark Cuban's instinct was to protect an abuser over the women that worked for him is just the latest indicator that women don't matter. And that's plain and simple, Nick. I mean, this Me Too movement is great just for the world and equality in general, but there are so much that still needs to happen. And Mark Cuban, he's known for being this hands-on guy. He knows about everything. And it seems like whether he turned a blind eye to it, whether he knew about it, or whether he was just plain oblivious to it, there is a heap of responsibility that falls on his shoes. And the fact that he could be so involved and yet not know about it, and you know, he highlighted the CEO that they fired, who also was fired or relieved of his duties from Under Armour from a similar accusation, which was obviously proven true. But the fact that, you know, that it's still like, and I'm glad that the NBA is on the front foot in terms of Adam Silver has instituted a hotline for issues in terms of, you know, assault or women who feel like, you know, they need to report something. Great. That's great. Mark Cuban has also got on the front foot in terms of he's hired an outside legal team to do an internal investigation. I believe they're a Manhattan firm. How much? Now, the one thing I think, I can't remember if he was one of the starters or someone from SI had said, the fact that he hired them means that if they're going to be the first people to see the results of the investigation, he could essentially, now I'm not saying he will do this, he could essentially twist the results and then, you know, make it public in whatever way he sees fit. Because he's the one that's hired the internal investigation.
There could be a lot more that in that that you don't understand whether they
absolutely
whether they report directly to the Mavs or whether they report to a governing body and the Mavs.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't know. You can't assume that any assumptions in something like this is very dangerous water to be treading. Whether he should be relieved of his duties, I mean, I would put this as possibly a... Personally, I don't think he should be. Obviously, his actions are inexcusable, but he seems to have taken affirmative action, whether that's just in light of, you know, the public eye now and like...
Exactly.
Yeah, again, all that... Anyone can make, you know, seem like the good guy when everyone's
after
the fact.
Yeah.
Of course. I get that. Which is why I wouldn't be surprised if he's fired. You know, like...
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me... Yeah, probably. Probably a bit higher, actually, Wikipedia. Because just the fact that he kept the staffer on and then made a separate contract for him, outlining, stipulating a certain set of rules for this rider.
Fucking horrible. Makes me sick.
Yeah, it's like, just cut him loose. Like, it's just...
It's not that hard. And his excuse for that was, like, we didn't want him abusing other people at other organizations. It's just like... And then I'll just, like, let Jamil Hill speak for me. I said it already. But I agree with you. I think it's a Wikipedia fact. And this could turn into a straight-up fact when more, you know, facts are brought to the light, when this internal investigation, you know, brings more to the light. Who knows? You know, we saw Donald Sterling fired, obviously, for greater issues. And he was, you know, not just a horrible owner. At least Mark Cuban got on the front foot. Donald Sterling was very, you know, predatory in terms of trying to hide it and how he treated not just women, but especially African-Americans. But a discussion for another day. But still on Dallas, Nicholas. Oh. Despite finding the Shark Tank host, I mean, they haven't had a good
Dallas
week.
Dallas has not had a good week, no.
They have not. Still in Dallas, despite finding the Shark Tank host $600,000, Adam Silver needs to do more to combat tanking in light of the Mavs owner's Mark Cuban's recent comments. Nick, can you, I mean, for those that haven't heard, I'm sure many have, can you shine a light on what he said on Dr. J's podcast?
He was saying, I don't actually have the exact quote on me, but he said that we'd be better off if we were tanking.
Who did he actually tell? Like, he didn't tell this to his GM. He didn't tell this to his existing coaches.
Oh, he said it on he said it on Dr. J's podcast.
And he relayed that he had told his players. Yeah. This for me, and I listened to Jalen Jacoby early in the week, and this for me is the most shocking part. He told his players it's better for us to tank. That's putting a mindset into the players, going, okay, well, then what's the point of me going out there?
Look at Philly,
and like that is. I mean, we know Philly, but at the same time, Sam Hinkie never told, you know, Joel Embiid, Robert Covington, we're going to be tanked. That was something that was, you know, strategically put.
What do you think the process was, Jack? It's a fancy word, Nick, of saying, hey, process of tanking every year will pay off in the long run.
But it wasn't.
That was the process.
But he didn't tell the players. Like, he didn't go, we want to lose. oh, at least that hasn't been, you know, it might have been said at the Sloan conference. He never told the players that, you know, we want you to lose. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, I mean, it's been an issue in terms of the AFL. It's an issue in all sports where, and I wrote an article for Beckett Media that'll be out early next week about the fact that how do we combat tanking? When we incentivize the losing with top draft picks, then it's always going to be a thing.
Yeah, but what do you think organizations are doing when, you know, they sell Nikola Mirotic, when they bench Tyreek Evans until the trade deadline, when they stop playing Marc Gasol? You may as well be saying to the players, "Hey, we're trying to lose," because that's exactly what you're doing. The only reason you play young guys is to develop them. The only reason why the Suns are playing Devin Booker is because he's their future. If Devin Booker was a 26-year-old, he would have been sold a long time ago. Bledsoe, perfect example. Exactly.
And I think this, for anyone who wouldn't say straight up the fact that Adam Silver needs to do more, is just living in a bubble. I see the obviously next year, you know, with the odds being flattened out in terms of the lottery with 14% now for the top three picks rather than a straight 25%, we're going to see some serious tanking this year. And we already have in terms of the Bulls, you know, benching some of their better players. You mentioned Tyreek Evans. You mentioned selling off Nikola Mirotic. The Suns, I'm sure, will be doing it. There's not many teams that won't be, except for probably the Lakers and Nets, because they're just going to be playing bad because they have no incentive to tank. But yes, more needs to be done. It's a straight up fact. Watch this space. I'm sure Adam Silver is definitely one of those guys who is open to ideas and is a commissioner that isn't going to rest on his laurels. So
I mean, that was the idea of the playoff competition, you know?
Yes, and I mean, that's something we'll go straight into that one now. Commissioner Silver should follow through with his idea to change the seeding for the playoffs and also institute the proposed play-in playoff tournament. Nick, great segue, mate. It's an unknown segue. It's almost a subconscious segue. Yeah, I love it. The double S. Do you think that would help combat tanking, and do you think that's a good idea on the Busey Wemwell scale?
Whether it helps combat tanking, I'm not too sure. I think it might enforce tanking, like, even more, because it's just like, shit, we can't get that 10 spot. You know, we still get
it'll
it.
It'll be 11.
We still get, eight, 9, 10. It'll be the 10th spot. Oh, yeah, but you'll need to get
7, 8, 9, 10.
You'll need to get to at least 11th to, I don't know, not hit playoffs or do whatever, get the better draft pick. But it sort of devalues the playoffs as well. You get 66.67 recurring of teams in the playoffs. That's, like, it's already high enough as it is. Whether it makes the playoffs more exciting, possibly. You know, the winner-takes-all competitions work all over the globe. Final series, I mean, NBA is the only final series in... American sports are the only final series that only do multiple games like this in finals, apart from NFL. I mean, that's obviously the Super Bowl is a one and done. And I believe NHL has multiple games. I think they've got 5 games in their Stanley
Cup. Baseball does as well.
Yeah. Nowhere else in the world does that. I mean, you might get a home and away leg in a in football, I'm talking. But that's it. Like, you get your round of 16 and then in the World Cup, and then, sorry, you get your group stages and then straight into round of 16 where it's knockout. And anything can happen in knockout. The bloody Doggies won a premiership because we caught Sydney on a bad day.
Yeah, like, and that's the point that Leah, I know you made it, a point about AFL, but Leah has made that point as well about the fact that the AFL final system wasn't working and now it is of the best system. And for those that don't know, I think it could have an effect.
That could
on
have a huge. I was just waiting. So I was listening to the drop this week, and I was just waiting for Lee to come
for
on
Lee
the,
to say
for
it.
Lee to yeah. come back on the show and mention the AFL. He didn't mention the AFL format. He didn't specifically say what it is. But the AFL series would help the NBA so much.
So what we have right now in Aussie rules is there's a top eight system. Now, you can set up the top 15, top 16, whatever the hell you want. But the top four teams, so the top half of the finals contenders, the playoff contenders, for lack of a better term, they verse each other and they get a second chance. If you win, then you're automatically to that next round. So whether it's the second round, the semis, whatever you want to call
it'll
it.
It'll be the third round. So it'll be 1-4 play, 2-3 play. Yeah. The winner of those go straight to the third round. So they
and
skip
they get
around.
And they're rewarded with that rest as well. Whereas the loser of both games will verse the winner of, you know, the 5th to 8th, which is you know, generally the lesser team. So like right now, it would be someone like a Milwaukee. If Milwaukee were to play, you know, the Wizards. I think they're 8th and 5th or something around that. Teams around that, if they would wanted them to win, they would verse the loser of, say, Toronto versus Cleveland. But I don't know the standings off the top of my head. So then, you know, then there's the second chance element. I like that. I think that Adam
I
Silver
like the second
all-
chance element as well, because a lot of people just, when they hit playoffs, they don't fight for higher positions. But if you've got two brackets in the playoffs, where if you hit top four, because hitting top four in the AFL is a very big deal. If you hit top four in your conference, bang, you get a second chance at the playoffs. Granted, you have to verse Golden State or the Rockets, you know, in that first round series. But you don't get kicked out. And then it makes the lower half of that more exciting, because instead of I don't know who's that, like Portland or something, getting swept by the Warriors, now play whoever the hell is fifth. I don't have the standings in
front of me. I think it's OKC right now.
OKC, yeah. Exactly. A much better matchup.
Yeah. I see. I think, you know, when in doubt, look to the Aussies, Nicholas.
That's it. We do everything right. Gun control. I mean, we fucking hit that out of the park.
Sorry to all our American listeners to rub it in your faces. But yeah, there's plenty of ideas out there, and check out my article. I've listed a heap of them, and I should have put in the AFL, but I wanted to sort of maintain a sort of an Americanism to it, Americana element to it.
God damn. Somewhat, and just Portland are fifth, man. God damn, I was way off.
Well then. Portland versus Denver. But we'll move on to a team that could be slipping in the playoffs, Nicholas. Kawhi Leonard, his decision to opt out of playing this season, which looks highly likely, means that he is as good as gone from San Antonio come the 2019 offseason free agency period. This has been making the waves. What do you got for me, Nicky boy?
This is an interesting one. It came a bit of a shock, Kawhi's decision. I mean, after being medically... you know, being deemed medically sound, and then him deciding, hey, I'm just going to, you know, boot the rest of the season. Oh, well, potentially. Him deciding he's not coming back. I don't think that makes him good as gone, no. I'm going to give this one...
from the max.
I'm going to give this one a Twitter. Because I think there's a tiny inkling... there's a little bit, because of the whole rumors that were coming out earlier the season, he's not happy, they're mismanaging his injury, blah, 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 blah. I think there's something there.
Yeah.
But...
I agree.
I think it'd be crazy to leave, despite everything.
I agree. I think that there is some sort of disconnect with Kawhi and the Spurs. I mean, we know his probably communication skills are as good as Tim Duncan's, but at least Tim Duncan was best friends with Greg Popovich. Mm. But yeah, I think that I'll give this a Twiki, Twitter Wiki. I mean, I always do it. I cheat on our scale. because the Spurs can offer him the max following the end of this season, and that's $40, $50 million more than any other team would be able to offer him. But, you know, LA might have some space. You know, Paul George goes there. LeBron goes there. Imagine that for a big three.
Ooh, yeah.
So who knows what could happen going into 2019. But, yeah, very quickly it's been done to death. But interesting. Definitely watch this space. A team we don't give enough credit to, not really credit to, enough airtime to on our pod, Nicholas, the Charlotte Hornets. They fired, they refused to extend a GM Rich Cho's contract. Have they made the right decision in doing that? I personally believe it's a straight-up fact, but I disagree with who Michael Jordan is apparently targeting, Mitch Kupchak, who was fired by the Lakers for his for basically giving guys like Luol Deng huge contracts, Timofey Mozgov huge contracts. So I think they should be targeting some lesser known GMs in the similar vein of what the Brooklyn Nets did with Sean Marks. And that's what I'll say, just to put it plain and simply.
Well, first of all, let's get on this whole fact that we don't give Charlotte enough airtime. You know who we don't give enough airtime to?
Who?
The Wizards.
Shut up! Oh my god, we're basically like a bona fide Wizard podcast. Whenever I put something
you keep
in
saying
there.
That, but we haven't even mentioned the Wizards. This, well, I guess now we have. Anyway, it's indicative. This move is a bit indicative on how Charlotte want to, you know, shake things up. There was talks of trading Kemba at the deadline. Obviously, nothing happened. Funnily enough, Kemba has just been absolutely balling. You know, get that worth up, Kemba. Get that payday. I'm going to give him a cha-ching.
Cha-ching!
Yeah, damn right.
Bang, bang. And also...
I agree with you in the fact that the replacement's probably not ideal.
No, not at all.
I mean, just you do it, MJ. Just you take the team. Just GM the team and just give him some of that mentality. Inject some mentality into that team, and then they'll be right.
There's so many great GMs out there in terms of assistant GMs out in Oklahoma City. David Griffin, formerly of the Cleveland Cavaliers, great possible replacement there. I don't understand Mitch Kupchak and why they're
so much for
him.
Lesser known. It makes... just go for David Griffin.
No, but it makes no sense that they would target Mitch Kupchak. It bewilders me. But Nick, do we have time for one or two more? What do you got for me?
No.
All right.
Just blood to shit. We will take a break because I am thirsty as. So on the other side, we've got your usual staples, JB Team and Rookie Watch, all that after this.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Make sure to give us a follow on Facebook.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Again, don't forget to hit that subscribe button on iTunes, rate and review the show. All that good stuff. But for now, let's go to JB Team of the Week. JB Team of the Week. Yes, welcome to JB Team of the Week. For those who are new, this is where Jack and myself recognise the players who have been outstanding this week in their position. Those who make the most appearances make JB Team of the Year, and then the winner will be crowned JBT MVP at the point guard spot. In the Warriors' 134-127 win over the Clippers, Steph Curry absolutely balled. He posted 44 points on 19 shot attempts. Just going to repeat that just for people. 19 times 2 is 38. So on 19 shot attempts, he hit 44. He got 44 points. Okay.
2 plus 2 is 4. Might as well. That's for quick maths.
14 of the 14 that went in, 8 three-pointers. Wait, 14 that went in, he hit 8 three-pointers as well, 9 assists. So, goddamn, he's just amazing. At the shooting guard, Lou Williams helped continue the Clippers' playoff push with a win over the Suns, posting 35 points, solid there, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and chucking a steal in there as well. Mate, you can take the front court.
As always. Nicholas, just a quick little tidbit. It's been a short week, yet it's been still ridiculously hard posting the players here. There have been some outstanding performances in about 3 days. But nevertheless.
The NBA is an amazing place.
Yeah, LeBron James, the JB Team of the Week mainstay, had recorded his 11th triple-double of the season, 18 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists, in a healthy away win over the Grizzlies. LeBron doing LeBron things. At the power forward position, probably one of the performances of the week with Steph Curry, Anthony Davis had an historic night yet again, this time in a tight win over the Heat. His box score is the stuff of 2K. 45 points, 17 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 blocks, 5 steals.
Wow.
Davis is the only player with a 40-point, 15-rebound, 5-steal, and 5-block game since steals and blocks were first tracked in 73-74. It has never happened, Nick. Anthony, and Skip Bayless said that this guy's the most overrated player in the league.
I mean, like, isn't he like... I mean, come on.
Shut up,
I
Nick. Mean, bub. You bub. At the center position... Despite failing out, Nikola Jokic was instrumental in the Nuggets' win over the Spurs, racking up 28 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists to record his third consecutive triple-double and fifth since January 27. Nikola Jokic, we may have a little bit of a abusive Melmel scale about him next week for you guys. We may have a special guest for you as well, one of our friends. We'll keep you guys posted about that. But Nick, play that sweet, sweet music for Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella!
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yes, for those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where we rank the rookies based on their performances each week. We award 1, 2, or 3 votes, and we'll tally them at the end of the year to see who takes home Rookie of the Year. All right, taking home one vote, the Rising Stars Challenge MVP, Bogdan Bogdanovic. It is.
Said that 5 times.
Bogdanovic. It's just weird that his first name is repeated in his second name. Anyway, continued his hot form, albeit in a loss to the Lakers, putting up 21 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Beautiful stuff there from Bogdan. Nice. Good old Boggy. I'm never calling it Boggy again. That is disgusting.
Bogey's better. I like Bogey. The Bogomeister.
The Bogonator.
The Bogomeister.
Yeah,
Bogonator's not bad.
Bogonator. I like that. Two votes in a win over the Mavs. Donovan Mitchell, once again, posted up an absolute brilliant stat line. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. It's just becoming bloody second nature to this kid. I mean, that's a rookie putting up that. We take it for granted. But another man we take for granted, mate. You want to take this one?
Yes, a man that the NBA and I think plenty of non-Australian pundits take for granted. On Thursday night, the first game back from the break, Ben Simmons picked up right where he left off with arguably the best overall performance of his stellar campaign. He torched the Chicago Bulls for 32 points on 13 of 18 shooting.
And yet so he 13, can't shoot,
13 times like... 2 is what?
Quick maths.
20... 13 times 2 is what, Nicholas?
6. 26.
Come on.
26.
There we go. Yeah, that's a really quick maths.
I said it.
2 plus 2 is 4 minus 1. That's 3. Slow maths. Shoot, 13 of 18 shooting to go, along with 7 rebounds and 11 assists. He also added a block and a steal and had just 2 turnovers on the night. As a result of the dominant showing, Simmons joined Allen Iverson in the Sixers history books with such a stat line. Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, these are guys you're going to be seeing regularly on, and you already have seen regularly on Rookie Watch. The only one that matters is not the Rookie of the Year performance, not the Rookie of the Year race, it's the JBT Rookie Watch race.
Damn right.
Rookie Watch Race.
It's the Wookie Watch. No? Okay. We'll just let that one slide. We'll cut that out on the editing floor, but perhaps.
That was good. I like that. That was solid. Stay tuned for more JBT Star Wars impression.
All right, off topic time.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
All right, inarguably one of the best sections of this podcast, whose name I forget, JBT.
What? You've been doing this for 2 years now.
No, I'm not good. But we all know that. Anyway, making some very odd news this week. A recent trend is occurring in China and Taiwan. At funerals, mate. This is a strange off topic. We're talking about funerals, normally a somber moment. But, well, I mean, these specific funerals are... Well, I want you to explain it.
Well, so the Chinese and Taiwanese, in their cultures, they believe that the increased attendance at your funeral, the more people that are there, the better your afterlife will be. So they've been employing strippers to perform so as to increase the attendance at a person's funeral. So we decided to pounce on an outrageously stupid and awesome topic and talk about what we would do at our own funerals and funerals in general to increase the attendance. Now, send us your ideas, because that's what really matters. Our ideas are only, we can only go so far. You, the people, we, the people, is what matters. But we will speak about what we think we'll do at some funerals. Nick, what are you going to do at your funeral, mate? What are you going to do at a funeral if, you know, you want to get a few more people there, get some bums on seats?
Well, mate, I mean, we're definitely going to have foosball. I mean, there has to be some foosball, some pinball machines, table tennis. Like it's only me dying. These guys will be fucking celebrating, you know.
They're living, mate. That's
exactly right. I was also thinking maybe like you have me like strung up on a like not much reminiscent of our Lord Jesus Christ, but pretty much. So essentially, I am up there just doing the full Jesus. And then got a basketball ring underneath me. So they're using my head as the backboard. So we're taking shots, and then I'm forever balling in the afterlife. I mean,
ball,
I think that's...
Ball is not only life. Ball is afterlife.
Ball is afterlife. Exactly.
Like your ideas a lot, mate.
It is incredibly disrespectful. Can you imagine if people piffing balls at my face at my funeral?
I mean,
my mother would be astounded.
I'm there, mate. I'm there. I wasn't going to your funeral in the first place, but you've convinced me.
I mean, there you go. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it?
I like your ideas a lot, mate. Very, very creative, very silly. That's what we're about. I would also have just to make it, you know, get some food trucks there, mate. You know, get some Mr. Burger.
Gravy trucks.
You know, people.
But remember, you gotta bring the bowl truck with you. You can't just have the gravy truck.
Absolutely. You need all of it, mate. You need whatever it is, whether it's dessert, whether it's savory food, whether it's burgers, whatever you got, whether it's gyros, whatever you got for me.
Don't call them gyros, you uncultured fuck.
Hey, I'm just copying the Americans. I'm trying to sound American because
gyros.
We get our highest listenership.
God damn.
We get our highest listenership from that country, Nick, so we need to pander to them. And I think you've done anything but that in terms of their religious nature.
That's true. Praise Allah.
And I think in terms of, you know, getting bums on seats, you know, you want a celebrity appearance there. I reckon do an afterlife roast. Get Jeff Ross there.
Ooh.
Get like, you know, like they did with Bieber, like they did with James Franco. Like, you know, have instead
yeah,
of having me
dead.
Sitting up.
Like, it's a bit, it's probably a bit far when you've got freaking some guy ripping on a dead dude.
I love it though.
I can't defend myself. I can't even laugh at the jokes. Like, what?
This is my funeral, Nick, and this is what I want to happen. And I think you would be the best head roaster of it. You and Chaz would absolutely tear me to shreds. Figuratively speaking, I mean, I'm already dead, so I don't need to be ripped apart physically. So,
speaking actually of putting bums on seats, massage chairs. For everyone.
Ooh, Nick!
Right?
Nick,
right?
Oh, now, this is going to be a pricey funeral. But,
oh, yeah.
If we want a decent afterlife, we need to put in the big dollars, as they say. You know,
yeah, but we can save money on a burial plot. We don't need a casket. Just chuck me in the trash.
Yeah. Just chuck us in the dumpster. Just throw it out of the dumpster.
Yeah, Frank Reynolds.
The physical being... the physical me doesn't matter. It's the spiritual me that's really matters. I mean, and I think we see in terms of what happens with Egyptian, you know, with Queen Nefertiti, that, you know, they bury them with jewels and shit because it makes them look illustrious when they go into the afterlife.
Well, yeah, but they also pull their brain from their nose. So let's not get too crazy with Egyptian traditions. Hey.
Organ donor, Nicholas. Come on, mate. Surely you're an organ donor. I think
I can't be a baller in the afterlife without a spleen. Like, I think I need my spleen.
Well, as long as you've got two arms, two legs, you can ball, mate. That's all that matters. And you could probably ball from a wheelchair. You can ball from anything, mate. You know, ball is life. You know, we're balling on you. So, I think...
Well, I'm definitely going to need a face. I mean, it's the backboard, so...
I mean, the weekend. What I can't feel my face when I'm with you, Nicholas. So, but I love it. It'd be nice if copyright issues prevent us from playing the weekend. But we are big fans. Thank you. I think Nick. I remember this is early.
Maybe you should have the weekend at your funeral.
Well, that'd be there'd be some bangers there.
That'd be
He's got a song with Kendrick Lamar on the Black Panther soundtrack called "Pray for Me." Performing that, how good would that be?
That would be a pretty dope wedding. I mean, funeral. I mean, it would be a dope wedding too. Pray for me. It's sort of relevant. Like, I'm losing my life. That's right.
Kendrick there as well. But I remember early in our podcast history, we did speak about the weekend, I think in terms of celebrity appearances, and Nick had no idea if he was a band or a person.
I'm still convinced that it's a band. Like, the weekend is a band name. Like, come on.
It's one guy. He used to have the pineapple hair. He dated Selena Gomez.
Mate, he still has the pineapple hair.
No, he doesn't have it anymore. I think he cut it for his most recent album. Yeah. Nick obviously needs to research the weekend a little bit more. But, guys, thanks for listening to us spew through a heap of stupid shit about funerals. and the rest of the podcast, as always. But we hope you enjoyed everything as we did talking about it.
Damn right.
Who's spieling, me or you?
You can spiel. I'm going to lie back. I'm just going to...
All right.
I'm just going to take it sleazy.
It's the end of the weekend, as they say, Nicholas. Give me a drum. Is there anything like a...
I can give you a Jimmy Butler scream. That'll have to do.
I think that's probably what'll happen at Nick's funeral if we see what he wants to happen. Jimmy will definitely be there. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA podcast. You can find us on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. Remember to rate and review the show. Help us out heaps. We appreciate those ratings. We may also be appearing on a new platform going into the future. Watch this space. You can contact us at the JMA JBT is myself. At JBT Nick is Nicholas on Twitter. Also hit up at OTG Basketball. You can read some awesome NBA articles and see some fire content videos, all the like, written by me. And we have some great things going forward. You got Facebook. Just search Just Ball Things. You'll find us. We're there. We're growing. Help us hit that 4,000 mark. We're trying to hit maybe 5,000 by the end of the year. We'd be forever grateful. Hit us up on email where we'll read them. We've never got one. We'd like one. jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it is you guys that make the shows great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.